I too count it a privilege to be here today. I have been felt very blessed with the proceedings. And I was very encouraged by the different topics that were given. I would like to reflect back a little bit to the object lesson that Brother Dean shared with us. If you will remember, on the second object lesson, or the second time he threw a ball out, he looked at the audience and he decided where he was going to throw it. There was a little bit of a time lapse there. He had to think a little bit. It didn't take long, but his eyes roved a bit. And there are some here today that remember that we were many years in getting here. There was a vision, and somehow it didn't take root. Again, there was a vision, and finally, the Lord provided. And what I simply want to draw out of that is that when we have a vision and the Lord's blessing is on it, eventually it will happen. The temptation is there to push ahead and make it happen. But the blessing is when we allow the Lord's timing to make it happen. And in that case, sometimes we have to look around a little bit and let the decisions happen. Okay, the dangers of higher education. I think we know that largely the Anabaptist people or the Mennonites saw the value of education. We did not feel threatened by education or by basic knowledge or by learning. I think someone mentioned this morning how the earnestness of teaching the converts how to read, that was definitely part of the value of, and as we read history, we're sometimes distressed when we read things like this, that in 1849, a teacher was fired as an infidel for teaching that the earth is a globe turning on its axis every 24 hours. You know, finally, that was from a school that was largely supported by Mennonite people. We're glad that that is not the... we're glad that we can read more history where, as the church started, the school also started, and there was a desire to be able to learn and to understand the scriptures and to be effective in society. Okay, what is higher education? The dictionary definition would say that higher education is education beyond high school, especially provided by college and university. That's a definition that we would get, or that you will get from a dictionary. Today, that is not, I don't think, what exactly or only what the committee had in mind, because I don't know that we have anyone who is going there. But I'm going to define higher education as, well, maybe in two ways. One is that going beyond the requirements of the state or the government, in other words, at what age are people going to the workforce? The Ministry of Labor website says that the minimum age for working is 14 if you work in retail. It's 16 if you work in construction. It's 18 if you're a window cleaner or work in a mine. You know, finally, I should go on. But it also says that 15, 16, and 17-year-olds are not to be employed during school hours unless excused by provisions in the Education Act. And I'm not going to go there, but we know there's provisions, and we know that some are taking those provisions, and we're glad for that. But the point that I would like to make is more or less what we're talking about today is grade 10 as a basic education. And I'm not going to get into Paul's subject, but that's basically where it's at. And also there is sometimes the need and sometimes the desire to go a little further. And I think the fact that the committee suggested there's some dangers there indicate that there's also some possibilities that there's nothing morally right about stopping at grade 10, if you will. But there are dangers to go beyond. When something's morally right or wrong, we don't have to look at the dangers. We simply go by the fact that it's right or wrong. So I'm going to look at some of the things that possibly can be dangers. And again, I want to try and stay out of the obvious things of the world and society. We're not going there anyhow, but some things just to remember. And that is 1 Timothy 2:4 says that the Lord wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's finally what we want, and that's what the Lord wants. But 2 Timothy 3:17 also says that there are those who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So there is a place where you can learn and learn and learn, and you never get to the knowledge of the truth. Proverbs 14:6 has an interesting comment. It says, "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth." In other words, if you have a reasoning mind, if you can think, you can fill it with knowledge. That's not that hard. But if you want to fill your heart with wisdom, there are some heart conditions that are going to have to be met in order for that to happen. The scorner cannot fill his heart with wisdom as long as he is a scorner. He can fill it with knowledge and understanding if he has a thinking mind, but all it takes is mental capacity to attain knowledge. But wisdom involves a heart condition. We all know, and maybe I should have given a heading to this one, and that is that knowledge has limited benefits. You know, finally, there's only so much it can do. We all know of individuals who have tremendous knowledge, and they can talk intelligently about almost any subject, but you know, when it comes right down to it, they're somewhat of a misfit in relating to others. It's very, very unfortunate, but that's the way it is. There are others that are almost embarrassingly naive on the things around them, but they have a wonderful way of relating socially. So, you know, finally, it's not the knowledge that is going to do it all. It is good. It helps us to understand things, but it has a limited benefit. The other thing that higher education does is it trains us to accept things by reasoning them out. And that's good. None of us likes to hear a lot of statistics that can't be supported or reasoned out. And we like to understand why we're supposed to believe what we're told. And that's good when we're talking about finances, mechanics, whatever it is. But you know, I can't by reason explain to you why Christ died for my sins. I can't reason that, I can't make you understand that by reason. You're going to have to understand that by faith. It was simply the love that he had. When we are at the place where we believe that we can understand things by enough reason and thinking about them, I think we already touched on that today, that finally we cannot solve the problems that society has by more knowledge. It simply doesn't work. Another danger that is there, and I'm going to call it the environment in which it happens, and I'm not talking about secular college. I'm simply saying the fact that education or the attaining of knowledge normally relates to sitting down and listening to instructions. I suppose that if you had an employee that you wanted to teach how to weld, you could show him all kinds of charts, you could explain different rods, you could explain different metals, and you could instruct him on how to weld. But the reality is, he might, at the end of all that, think that he knows how to weld, but he doesn't. Not until he takes the welder in his hand and actually welds does he know. And that's one of the things that higher education has a tendency to do, and that is it has a tendency to make you think that you now understand it, because after all, you've studied it for a long time. And we end up with experts who have really never done the real thing. You know, probably the most frustrating experience for our wives is to have that young social worker that has never had a child come and tell the mother after her sixth child how to care for a baby. You know, she may have all the instructions and she's listened to everything, but really it's the mother that knows how to take care of a child. Because, why? Because she's done it and she has experience. Another one on the environment is the fact that, well, Psalm 1, verse 1, speaks of the counsel of the ungodly and the seat of the scornful. And I guess this one we could relate to secular learning. I'm guessing there is very few here that have gone to public school all their life, including high school. But I think we understand that the surroundings that we experienced back then were quite a bit different than what you would experience now. In spite of the fact that, I should reword that. You know, the reality is, when we are under the instruction of those who are not Christian people, it is the counsel of the ungodly. Finally, the principles that they're going to present are going to be principles that are not necessarily based on the Word of God. And certainly there will be scorn when it relates to the Scriptures. And your surroundings have a way of affecting you. Repeated principles have a way of embedding themselves, and repeated scorn to precious principles has a way of tearing down. Now, in the past, the church has sought an answer to that by producing or having their own secondary and post-secondary schools. So wouldn't that be the answer? We have our school, we have the church taking care of it, and we have the church teachers there. And I think maybe Dean mentioned that the first teachers were all educated, which was fine, but we know from history that that had very minimal success. And one of the problems is that the bottom line still was that they wanted accreditation from the state. And it doesn't make sense to go to school for X number of years to go into a profession and not finally have something that is a credit that helps you get there. So being accredited by the world comes with a cost. And to their distress, they discovered that cost was that you have to let the world into the school. Finally, when the church tries to mimic the world's methods and to gain the approval of the world at the end, it comes to failure. Now, there's a few things I would like to say that come closer to our own personal situations. We do need a certain amount of, well, grade 10 especially, for entering into the trades. And as I mentioned earlier, for those of us who experienced the public school part, we went through that and there was no question. But today, when we have our own schools, it is good and it is necessary that we have grade 9 to 10 in our schools. And I'm glad that we do. But I was asked to not analyze whether we should or not, but to share some of the dangers, and that's what I intend to do. Typically, and not all, but typically we have had students that were doing grade 9 and 10 work on a course a little on the outside of the school and maybe come to school one or two days a week. Now the pressure is there that why don't we simply have them come the 5 days of the week and simply be part of the school? And at the end, they have grade 9 or 10. I would like to simply say this. If you have 15, 16-year-olds in a mixed setting day after day, you better have your eyes opened. It's one thing to have 8 and 9-year-olds together, playing together every day, relating together. But it's quite a different thing to have 15, 16-year-olds in that position. I'm just saying we need to have our eyes opened. I suppose that every child sometime in their life had a teacher that they thought was just about perfect. You know, if that child is 8 years old and the teacher is 28, that's just all right. It doesn't matter how much that child talks about that teacher. But you know, if the pupil is 16 and the teacher is 19, you just might face a challenge. I'm going to give a few quotes that I heard over the years. Some of them are by teachers and some of them are by students relating to this grade 9 and 10 thing. And I'm not going to say that the quotes were right or wrong or good or bad. I'm going to let you decide that. But I'm simply, some of them you'll obviously know, but here's one quote. A student said, "It's not nice when grade 9 and 10 days are staggered. We don't get time to play together." You know, sometimes we have grade 9 come one day and grade 10 come another day. Well, they're not there on the same day. Students said that's not nice because we don't get time to play together. Another student said, "I'd rather do my work at home. I get much more done." This is a quote from a teacher. And in some of our schools, even when we have this 1 or 2 day a week thing, when it comes time to the Christmas program, we have the students come maybe regularly for a week or two to be part of the program. A quote from a teacher in relating to those weeks before the program. Obviously, something is connecting between this student and that student. And that teacher named the name of a boy and the name of a girl. There's something's happening there, it's quite obvious. Quote from a teacher, "If at 15 they haven't learned perseverance and ability to work and understand without total teacher supervision, they're not very well prepared for the workforce." These are not my own sayings, these are quotes that I heard over the years. I guess what I'm simply saying by this is we can talk about the dangers of college, we can talk about all those things, and we understand that. I want us to remember that even though we need, I'm getting into Paul's subject there, that it is very important that we have an education that allows our people to go into the trades and find their way in life. We also have to be very careful that we don't try and take a formula that works fine for little school children and apply it to adults. We don't stop in spite of the fact that there's dangers. We honestly admit the dangers, and we do what we can to minimize them, and we pray that the Lord would give us wisdom and understanding and help us to be faithful. May the Lord bless.